There are many people here far better qualified than I to speak about this remarkable body of work, but nonetheless, I feel that I can claim a certain right to say something now. That is because many years ago, 23 to be precise, I was in Paris as the lucky recipient of a residency at the Cité des Arts, a building overlooking the Seine, behind whose imposing facade artists of all nationalities and stripes are free to do their thing, granted a respite from a world of grinding domestic and money-making chores. It is an incredible place, of which it must be said, to borrow a phrase, that what goes on at the Cité stays at the Cité. I'd been there a month or so, getting my bearings and trying to act like a nonchalant member of the Cité community, when I heard on the grapevine of the arrival of a new Australian artist at the Tasmanian School of Art studio. The word was that she was young, just 21, and a precociously talented figurative painter. So I was fully prepared to hate her when I met her at the Cité exhibition openings. But I was, as anyone who meets Celeste will be, immediately disarmed by her charm, her friendliness, and generosity. I find it quite hard to be friends with people who ply my trade, i.e. figurative painting, because of a kind of automatic defensiveness and a fear of rivals. But with Celeste, I found I was immediately drawn into a conversation about painting that was stimulating, inspiring, and that continues to this day to help me arrange my thoughts about this often quite lonely and difficult activity. It also helped that she and I shared an interest in food, notably creme brulee, and in seeing old movies, which we did quite often. Over the years, since our meeting in Paris, I have eagerly anticipated Celeste's exhibitions, knowing that she brings to her work a combination of intellectual rigor and technical virtuosity, always a questing towards something new, challenging both herself and her audience. Far more than many, and certainly more than me, she holds the act of painting to a high critical standard. She is proof of the falsity of the phrase, stupid as a painter. It did not surprise me when, a while back, Celeste told me that she was embarking on further study, and I knew that she was better equipped than many to venture into that theatre of conflict with a dangerous enemy, the as yet unwritten PhD. When she later showed me the product of the years of her doctoral research in the form of a superbly written and argued orange cloth-bound book, the scope of her research and the philosophical tone of the work frankly flabbergasted me. Typically, she downplayed it. Despite her choice of career, there's no overt exhibitionism about Celeste, and in speaking of her own work, her voice is quiet, wry, self-questioning. Over our years of conversations, I've also learned of her enjoyment of teaching, her teaching work at the VCA, her genuine care for both students and her colleagues. These works around us now, all of them, will have behind them a set of ideas and propositions that Celeste investigates and transforms in the medium of paint. The most recent paintings might seem to have departed from the inwardness, the mysterious subjectivity of her earlier paintings, but despite their modest size, they are full of a curious tension, and there is an ongoing intellectual joy that underpins them. Even in recent times of extreme struggle with her health, Celeste continues to reflect on the business of painting in the way that only someone truly invested in it and versed in all of its history can. The other day in hospital, Celeste told me that she would love to write something about contemporary female painters and their engagement with the history of the medium, adding to the recent long overdue attempts to write them into art history, Australian art history, with a perspective gleaned from being a painter herself. As ever, I was impressed by not only Celeste's total commitment to art and thinking about art in circumstances that would have many of us reaching for the TV remote in search of stupefying trash, but also by her generosity towards her colleagues. For Celeste is a very decent person who doesn't really like gossip, and she always errs on the side of finding positives in someone's work. If you're lucky enough to share a bottle of red wine over a meal with Celeste and her partner Andrew Dewhurst, a riotous and highly enjoyable dissection of the Australian art world often ensues, with Celeste keeping the more outrageous character assessments, I didn't say assassinations, in check. But her real pride and joy is in fact her daughter Anouk.
whose own artistic ideas and styles of expression, as well as everything else, have always delighted her. It is well known that it is not easy balancing being a mother and being a producer of artworks alone in a studio, but Celeste's wish has always been to do it with Anouk as her first priority. Indeed, we only get on to the subject of painting once a discussion of Anouk's latest escapades, funny remarks, and activities have been well covered first. And Celeste is always the first to credit Andrew with helping her to achieve all that she has done in her studio by taking up the slack when the exhibition deadline is looming. He's even been known to clean her brushes with the care and expertise of a fellow painter, and also to prepare desserts involving potted cream. It's quite simply a marvel. Finally, Nick Thompson has been, as ever, a quiet enabler of the practice of painters in Melbourne in putting on this exhibition and moved immediately to set it up when the idea of a survey was suggested. It is my privilege to thank him and you all for coming, but mostly to thank Celeste for producing these paintings. Thank you.